नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणिं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरक्षे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांचा कल्पत्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So we all know what is the situation going on in the world. This is a big epidemic, big calamity, which has trapped the whole world. And everybody is keen on sharing a lot of information. And sometimes all that information make us more panic, make us more worried. So, request to everybody, I guess we should share only enough information to keep everybody informed, but we don't have to bombard with all sort of information whichever we come across, because sometimes a lot of that information is not valid, not bona fide, not authorized also. We just hear something, we receive some message and we think, oh, let me share with everybody in all different groups. So let's try to limit that information what we share, because we don't want to create an atmosphere of panicking situation, making everybody more and more worried. And all these negative thoughts actually make people focus a lot more on negativity. So along with all this, whatever is going on in the world, we need to keep up with some positive mood, some positive environment, looking some positive aspect even in the situation of calamity. So as we discussed last time also, when all this situation happens, some big problem comes, disaster happens, lot of time people are filled with these doubts. Why is this happening? Whom to blame? In that situation, generally our faith is shaken. First blame goes on God. Why did God do this? Why is God letting this happen? Why is God allowing this suffering to happen? But rather than putting that blame on God, I guess we should put that blame on ourselves. We should try to introspect on ourselves why all these natural calamities happen in first place. Because we have, when I say we, it may not be necessarily all the immediate people around us, but in general, people in this world has created a lot of troubles within this material world because of our desires to enjoy in unlimited ways. Polluting the rivers, polluting the oceans, polluting the atmosphere, polluting the skies, polluting the space. We have not spared any part of the world actually. And because of all these misutilization of the natural resources, when it reaches its peak threshold value, then material nature retaliate. So if something, somebody need to be blamed for this, I guess the first blame has to come on the human beings. Because human being is the one species who has misutilized all the resources of this world, thinking everything belongs for our enjoyment. Can anybody claim that I have not misutilized the nature's gifts? Have we not wasted the water? Have we not wasted the food? Have we not wasted or polluted the air? Everybody has their contribution. Somebody may have done little, somebody may have done more. But nobody can say, I have never misutilized the resources of nature, or I am not a 0.001% contributor also in all this world situation, what we have. So if somebody has to be blamed for, first of all, we have to put blame on ourselves because of our wrong choices and decisions. And then among this, the situation of calamity also, there is a lot of big lessons to learn for everybody. And what are that lesson? The most important lesson to learn from this whole situation is, we need to understand the consequences of this whole globalization situation. Because of all this globalization, everybody is having trade with all different countries in the world. All the materials coming from one country or another country, we have so much dependency on another. And people are in a panicking situation, thinking if all the transport stop, from where we'll get our necessities? From where we'll get the paper? From where we'll get the hygiene supplies? So there will be scarcity of all that. Because we have put too much dependency on other countries. Earlier, it used to be the system of self-dependency. In a local community, everybody will sustain on each other. One person is growing the crop, somebody is growing the fruit, somebody is growing the vegetables, somebody is harvesting something, and everybody exchange the resources from each other in the local community. But because of this globalization, we have given power in hand of some selected people. We have made one person too rich, and in all that situation, we have stopped all the local businesses, all the small businesses, poor people, the local vendors. They had to close down their businesses because of all the supermarket, superstore, everything available in one particular place. And with the hope that we can buy the stuff in a cheaper price, we have given our needs in hand of other people in other countries. So that is one big lesson to learn. That too much of globalization is also not good. All this epidemic situation has brought the whole world to its knees at this time. And the another thing regarding globalization, we think the whole world has become so small now. With the airplanes and fast trains and everything, one person. In the morning, I may be in USA, in the afternoon in Europe, and at night in India. So the whole world has become in reach in a matter of few hours. And that is also one of the reasons why this epidemic has spread so fast in the whole world. Out of 193 countries, it has already spread in 188 countries in a matter of 2 months. And that is all. Who to blame for? This whole globalization, this whole, the desire to travel the whole world. And one person traveling from here to there is taking all these infections also. Earlier people used to stay in their local communities. There was much less travel beyond their local communities. And if there was any pandemic, any epidemic, koi mahamari phailta bhi tha, it used to stay contained within that local community and it will subside. So the world has a big lesson to learn from this whole situation. And then a lot of time when something this happen, we may think that after all these humans are not that bad also. We know so many people around us who also have their belief in God. They have their certain belief. They may not be exactly in the same way how we believe in God, but at least they are also pious people. They also have some belief in God. So why is this happening? Nobody deserves to face all this bad situation, all this reaction. Even though we may say that yes, other people also believe in God, but to what level our belief is in God? Our belief in God is tested actually in this sort of situation. Even though people may say we have belief in God, but their belief in God mostly is to get their needs from God. As long as you are providing my needs, I have belief in you. The day you stop providing me, I don't trust you, I don't have belief in you. That is most people's situation. As soon as some problem come in life, the belief, the faith is shaken up. And moreover, belief in God is considering God as our order supplier. We may know something about God, but really, do we know God? Because knowing God means to follow the rules set forth by God. People who claim themselves as a believer of God may not even follow the rules given by God. We may not have belief in the soul. We may not have belief in the next life. We may not have belief in why all these things happen. Sometimes looking in the future or looking in the present situation, we may not be able to understand why is this happening. But if we look back when the whole this thing has settled, and when you then at that time when you look back, we may be able to connect the dots. Why all this happened? Maybe there was a bigger plan of God behind this. So we have to maintain that faith in God. Yes, there is some bigger, better plan behind this. God is in control. The things have not gone out of control of God's hands. So people may consider themselves dharmic believers, but we need to maintain that faith. That's when this faith is tested. At this time of calamity, the whole world has become like a war zone. Right? It has become a war field. And at this particular time, who are the soldiers who are fighting this war? Those are the healthcare workers. So the healthcare workers right now are like the soldiers. Soldiers protect the border. But the healthcare workers, they are fighting within our boundaries, our areas, to protect people who are suffering from this disease. And they are also at a bigger risk actually to themselves catch that infection. So we need to respect that. We need to respect all these soldiers, the healthcare workers, and minimize their risk. So we have to take precaution at our end, whatever maximum we can do in our hands. Ultimately, it's in the hands of God. So as it is said, do your best and leave the rest to God. So but we have to use our intelligence and maintain those proper guidelines which have been circulated everywhere throughout the world. And at this time, actually, there is even more need of spiritual knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, when we talk about Bhagavad Gita, sometimes people think, oh, this is some sort of a religious book. This is meant for Hindus. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is not a religious book or meant for one class of people, follower of one particular dharma. This is a universal knowledge which apply in every situation, in every place and circumstance to everybody. I was just having one realization, one thought coming to my mind, that when Arjuna told Lord Krishna, I don't want to fight this war, because I don't want to kill other people, I don't want to get afflicted with this sinful reaction of killing other people. At that time, Lord implored Arjuna to take up his responsibility. His responsibility as a Kshatriya was to fight this war against Adharma. And what did he tell Arjuna? Even if you lose this war, even if you die in this war, you will attain Swarga. And if you win this war, you will be glorified. You will get the whole earthly kingdom. So in both situations, you are beneficial. At that time, this was spoken to Arjuna. And the same situation actually applies in current situation also. All these healthcare workers, they are like soldiers fighting this war against this epidemic. And even though they are also at a risk, what does Krishna say actually? Hatova prapyasi swarga jitvava bhokshase. If you die in this battlefield, you will attain swarga, and if you win this war, you will be glorified. So the situation applies in every circumstances. This knowledge applies in every circumstances. And we need to respect all the healthcare workers. And for their safety and betterment, we need to cut down our outgoings and mingling with other people to not put them at more risk. And moreover, yes, we have to look for personal care, medical facilities, doctors for rescue. But at the same time, we have to understand that all those shelters are not the ultimate shelter. They are not the permanent shelter. Even though the doctors may get affected, so we should have to take better shelter of Krishna. That is the only shelter actually at this time. So we have to avoid all these negative thoughts which emerge in our mind, bombarded throughout from various sources. Because whatever the state we remember, if our consciousness got caught up on those thoughts, and if somebody get really sick and all these negative thoughts are emerging in the mind, what will be the end result? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. If somebody gives up their body at that state of mind, in those negative thoughts, in those negative circumstances, he will not attain the ultimate benefit. So rather than thinking corona, 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 we need to think about Krishna. So rather than chanting the names of corona, we need to chant more names of Krishna at this time. That's why we keep saying, Bhagavat Naam Smaran Karona, Shastron Ka Adhyayan Karona, Bhagwan Ka Chintan Karona. That is our only shelter actually at this point of time. Krishna is only the one who is going to come for our rescue. There was one beautiful pastime from Krishna Leela. When Krishna was playing with all his gopas in the forest, and once there was a big forest fire. And this forest fire, this fire, what is happening? This fire is jumping, the sparks of fire jumping from one tree to another tree to another tree, afflicting all those trees, putting fire on all those trees. The whole forest is burning. And this is also the same situation. Right now the whole world is on fire. And what are these sparks of fire right now? Those are the fire sparks of this virus. These are jumping from one human to another human to another human, infecting all different people. But in that fire situation, Krishna was the one who came for rescue, swallowing all the fire. With one breath, Krishna swallowed the whole fire. So the whole fire was subsided and everybody was saved. And same way, Krishna is going to come for the rescue. This whole infection system, we should have to look at this in a positive aspect. There is a plan behind this, why this is all happening. This is for the treatment of this Mother Earth, for the material nature, to restore it to its state of functioning. And once that all is done, Krishna is going to withdraw all that. As this whole infection, this whole virus thing came all of a sudden from nowhere, same way this whole thing will disappear. So we have to maintain that faith in Krishna. Rather than becoming too much bombarded with negative thoughts, we have to maintain this positive energy, positive spirit, and engage in chanting of the holy name. So there is a beautiful prayer, Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari, He Nath Narayana Vasudeva. He Krishna Govinda Hare Murari, He Nath Narayana Vasudeva. He Krishna Govinda Hare Murari, He Nath Narayana Vasudeva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So my sincere request to everybody, please engage in the process of bhakti, in the chanting of the holy name, in study of scriptures, in remembering the Lord at all time, in all circumstances. And that's only way how we can overcome this calamity. So, moving on to our connection with Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, last time we discussed how Shukdev Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj that ultimately everybody should take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Even though somebody is filled with desires, free from all desire, with the desire of liberation, no matter what sort of state of mind one has, but one should take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And if somebody takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, the Lord purify all these desires, give him shelter at his lotus feet. So the Lord says, take to my lotus feet, because that is like a kalpataru, desire fulfilling tree. It will purify you and then grant your desires. And Lord grants the desire in such a way that one does not keep demanding the same things from the Lord. His heart is purified from all that contamination. And after having all described that, now the Shaunakadi Rishi, they are asking Shukdev Goswami that whatever Parikshit Maharaj has inquired, Shukdev Goswami answered that. And what further was inquired by Parikshit Maharaj? And what was the answers given by Shukdev Goswami? And they are saying, Etat chashushitam vidvan sutanaharsi bhashitum kathahari katha udarka satam sayusadasi dhruvam. Etat chashushitam vidvan. So he is saying, O Suta Goswami, you are very learned and we are very eager to hear. Suto naharsi bhashitum. You are a very learned person and we are very much eager to hear about. So these are the two very important qualities. The quality of the speaker who is well equipped with the knowledge of the Shastras, the knowledge of the Vedic principles, and the quality of the audience, the eagerness to hear. Shushrushatam. Because if these two qualities are not there, if the speaker is not eligible and if the audience doesn't have the eagerness to hear, it does not bring about the result. And they are saying, katha hari katha udhar kam. Please speak about those topics which further lead to Krishna katha. So there may be some topic which may not be directly related to the talk of Krishna. As we started our talk with this whole epidemic situation going on. So that talk in itself may not have the direct talk about Krishna or glorification of Krishna. But if that can be connected with the glorification of Krishna, that leads to the talk about Krishna, that is what to be spoken about. So everything has to be done in connection with the Supreme Lord. Katha hari katha udhar kam. Please speak those topics which lead to further talks about Krishna. So as in Bhagavatam, in the beginning it started from some episodes of Mahabharata, talking about Kunti, talking about Bhishma Dev, talking about Parikshit Maharaja's birth and all that. So there may be no direct talk about Krishna in every verse or glorification of Krishna, but ultimately all those topics are connected with talks of Krishna. So like sometime people go to a restaurant, and in the restaurant it's not that directly everybody jumps to the main course. So in the beginning there is some appetizers, right? People will order some appetizers, some pakoda and this that, some starters. And after the starters, then there is the main course, main meal. And after the main meal also, there is maybe some dessert, and then some thing to digest what all you ate. So same way, the Vedic scripture, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literature, it starts with some pastimes, some narrations from Mahabharata. And then it speaks about the creation, speak about the various devotees, but ultimately this all leads to Krishna Katha. And at the end there are some concluding remarks to digest all that information. What is going to happen in Kali Yuga and all those situations are also mentioned towards the end. So the 10 topics of Bhagavatam, ultimately they all lead to Krishna Katha. So Shaunakadi Rishi is saying, please speak those topics which are connected, which ultimately lead to the narrations of Lord. And how this has to be spoken? Satam sayu sadasahi dhruvam. All these topics has to be spoken in the association of devotees. That is another very important characteristic of this knowledge. It cannot be spoken in a professional setting, where the main purpose is to earn some money or do some entertainment. Because that does not bring about the result. And what is that result? Purification of the heart. Somebody may hear the katha, clap about it, wow, very nice talk. But at the end, if that does not bring about some output, some reaction, some purification of the heart, then it's not useful. So it has to be spoken in the association of devotees, in the assembly of devotees. And then Shaunakadi Rishi, they go on glorifying Parikshit Maharaj. They speak about one particular quality of Parikshit Maharaj. See, Parikshit Maharaj also was under this particular calamity. He was given the curse that you will die within 7 days. And how he will die? One snake bird will come and bite you. It's like if somebody already knows, after 7 days I will get this infection from coronavirus, what will be my situation? So Parikshit Maharaj already knew that, okay, 7 days, that is my end of story. But he engaged himself fully in the service of the Lord, in the process of Shravanam Kirtanam. And Shaunakadi Rishi are glorifying Parikshit Maharaj, that what was his great quality throughout his life, that why he exhibit that sort of renouncement at that point. His quality was, Bal Kridanake Kridam, Krishna Kridai Adade. from his childhood, from his birth. Whenever he was playing with his dolls, he used to imitate the worship of Lord Krishna. He used to imitate the pastimes of Krishna, even during his childhood playtime also. So from his birth, he was absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. When he was playing, his mother may be calling, please come eat food. But he is busy playing. And what kind of playing he is doing? He is playing with some dolls and imitating the pastimes of Krishna. Oh, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill like this. Oh, Krishna killed Kaliya, or Krishna subdued Kaliya like this. So he is imitating those pastimes, always remembering, immersed in the thoughts of Krishna. And that's why he is at the end of his life also able to surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually he gives many different examples. Prabhupada talk about himself, that we took birth in a family of a devotee, and from the very beginning we were curtailed, we were developed in that consciousness. So Prabhupada gave his example, I used to play like that in my childhood, I used to conduct a children's Rath Yatra festival, and my father will encourage us, he will spend money from his pocket to arrange for all the prasadam for all the kids and to make the chariot. And how somebody is able to get that benefit? What is the quality that somebody take birth in that kind of family, that kind of people? If somebody has not finished his spiritual progress in the previous life, he takes birth in such families. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, text 641, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yogo Bhrashte Vijayate. If somebody has not gained full success in the process of bhakti, in next life, they take birth in the families of Shuchinam Shrimatam, either in the family of a great brahmanas, great devotees, Vaishnavas, where they continue their progress in bhakti. Or they take birth in the families of Srimatam, well-to-do families, financially successful families. So they don't have to worry about their basic necessities of life. And they can continue their progress in spiritual life. So one is very fortunate to have taken that birth and to engage from very childhood into the activities of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we also feel very proud when our children engage in that sort of playing. They also play with some Krishna doll, Krishna Radha dolls, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra dolls, Narasingha dolls, and we think, wow, my son is doing great. Yes, they are doing great, but ultimately it depends on their previous conditioning, if they are able to hold on to that attraction towards the Supreme Lord. That's what we need to cultivate in the children. To continue that attraction towards the Supreme Lord, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So Parikshit Maharaj's great quality, he was not bothered because of these calamities which has befallen upon him, but having full shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the quality of Shukdev Goswami, what is his quality? So he is saying Shukdev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, was also full in transcendental knowledge and was a great devotee of the Lord. Vasudeva Parayana. So Vasudeva Parayana means who also has taken full shelter of Lord Vasudev. Vasudeva Parayana. So Shukdev Goswami is very eligible speaker. Parikshit Maharaj is very surrendered devotee. So there must have been talks, discussions about Lord Krishna. Because Lord Krishna is glorified by the great devotees, great philosophers, in the company of great devotees. So when a devotee is present, his only business is to speak about Krishna. So no matter where he is, in what situation he is always eager to speak about Krishna. So sometimes it has happened, some devotees may have experienced that. We get that habit everywhere, wherever you are sitting, either it's office or at a grocery store, whomever you meet, ultimately you want to bring the talks about Krishna. So at lunch time, if you're sitting and somebody comes and sits with you, we strike some conversation, how are you, how is your work going, and ultimately bring something to speak about Krishna. You meet somebody at the grocery store, we bring about the talk about Krishna. Oh, we are having this satsang program, why don't you join us? So wherever a devotee is, his only business, his only consciousness is absorbed in speaking about Krishna. Somehow or other, how I can connect other souls with Krishna. So that is what our consciousness should be. No matter what is the circumstances, what is the situation, either it's a happy situation or a distressed situation, always remembering Krishna and helping people to connect with Krishna. And that is the real meaning of association. So when we are in the company of other people who may be speaking about all sort of different topics, we don't have to take their association, but we should give them our association. And somebody may say, oh, what is the difference? Giving association versus taking association. So actually, association means where there is exchange of emotions, exchange of feelings. So when we are in the company of other people, where you have to be in the company of your co-workers or some other friends and family maybe. But actual association means when you are affected by their feelings, their emotions. So rather than getting affected by their emotions, if somebody is having negative thoughts, negative feelings, having disbelief in the God, rather than having affected by their thoughts, we should affect them with our virus of positivity, having our faith in Krishna. And that is what is means of giving association. So Shukdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, both have great qualities. Both have seen all sort of situations. And they are completely immersed in talking about Krishna. Absorbing full concentration, full consciousness in thinking about Krishna. No worries what will happen after 7 days. And Shaunakadi Rishi are glorifying their qualities and they are glorifying the process of bhakti, that is the ultimate shelter. Because otherwise the time is taking away the life of everybody. Ayur harti vaipumsam udhyan asamtam chayanaso tasya arte yatkshano nitah uttam shalokavartaya. Ayur harti vaipumsam, by both rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life. Udhyanam astam chayan asau. So udhyan, by the rising, astam, by the setting, asau, the sun. So by the rising and setting of the sun, it is taking away the life duration of everybody. Tasya arte yat kshano nita uttama shaloka vartayah. Except one who utilizes the time by discussing the topics of all good personality of Godhead. Uttama shaloka vartayah. So what is Shaunakadi Rishi saying? The time factor is so powerful that it can destroy everything and it can heal everything. And time takes away the life of everybody. And there is one exception. What is that exception? Except for those who are engaged in discussion about the Supreme Lord. Now one may say, but how is that possible? Does this suggest that the devotees who are talking about Krishna, they will not get old? That they will never die? So what does it really mean? That except for those, it's taking away, kidnapping the life of everybody else. So we have to understand the deeper meaning behind this. So just imagine, just consider the situation. There are two people, both are earning $5,000. One person, he got his salary, $5,000. He deposited $3,000 in the bank and spent $2,000 on all his necessities for day-to-day life. So at the end of the day, he doesn't have any cash in his pocket. And there is another person who got salary $5,000 and he spent all $5,000 in various things. All his necessities and enjoyment and all other nonsense things. So at the end of the day, he also doesn't have anything left in his pocket. So you ask both people, how much is there in your pocket? Nothing. Zero. But are they both at the same level? One person, he utilized the money properly. He have put something in the saving which is there, which is maybe earning the interest also, and it can be used in the time of need. But the other person, he doesn't have anything to his rescue in the time of need. So same way, the person who is utilizing his time in talking about Krishna, in remembering Krishna, in taking the names of Krishna, he is depositing his time in a safe deposit. And that is going to stay for eternity, that bank balance. And Prabhupada gives another very beautiful example from different parts of the scripture, that if somebody has earned a lot of money and he is utilizing his money for some charitable task, if somebody is giving some charity to somebody, even though he may be not eligible to receive that charity, but somehow this person is giving charity for some philanthropic work, and his next life he is going to achieve, gain back that equal amount in charity from others. So that's not going to go waste. And if somebody has given the charity to a qualified brahmana, even an ardha brahmana, he will receive back two times more what he has given. And if he has given the charity to a qualified brahmana, it will come thousands times more. And if somebody has given the charity to a Vedrata, who is Veda Paranga, who is fully realized on the path of Vedas, the return is actually unlimited multiplication. So the amount given in charity also comes back, and it comes back in multiple fold. So same way, the time spent in activities of Krishna, it warrants a better life in this lifetime or in the next life. Somebody may attain to the higher planets and somebody may become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Sometimes people are stuck with maintaining the situation in this life. They think, I want to make my situation in this lifetime better. And they spend all their time and energy on those aspects. But there are some people who know there is a futility in this, making the life better within this lifetime. Life situations can never improve. Ultimately, this material world is dukkhalaya shashvatam. So better I try to improve my life situation for the next life, become eligible to go beyond this. So if there are two prisoners in the jail, one is fully conscious about going from a D grade cell to a B grade cell, that, oh, let me improve my situation within the jail. But there is another prisoner who is focusing on how I can go out of the jail itself. So what is the better proposal? Make our life situation better within the jail, or try to go out of the jail? So one need to utilize its time in a proper way, remembering Krishna in the activities of Krishna consciousness, so that that time, even though that time is going away from our hands, but it is getting deposited in a bank account where you have unlimited return, interest rate to that. So that is the meaning, that the time is taking away the life of everybody except for those who are utilizing their time in the activities of Krishna consciousness. But somebody may not agree with that proposal. Somebody may say, oh no, the human life is meant for eating, sleeping, mating, make merry, enjoy your life, create more and more facilities, enjoy the life in a more and more luxurious way. That is the ultimate purpose of human life. to defy that thought process, to challenge that thought process. Bhagavatam mentions, Tarva kim na jivanti, bhastram kim na shvasanti utah, na khadanti na mehanti, kim grame pashopare. Tarva kim na jivanti. Do you think that trees don't live? Bhastram kim na shvasanti utah, the bellows of the ironsmith, do you think they don't breathe? Na khadanti na mehanti, kim grame pashopare. Even the animals who live in the same community, in the same village, in the same city, they also eat, they also produce children, they also have sex life. What is so great about that? So if somebody is saying this whole material life, this whole world is for the purpose of enjoyment, and that is the proposal of the materialistic people, they think the life is meant for enjoyment and we need to prolong this life duration so we can enjoy more and more facilities, create better facilities for enjoyment, eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry and enjoying the life. That is their whole consciousness. And the modern people, they want to live forever by the advancement of their material science. They are trying to go to space, polluting the space also. They are trying to go to different planets. And there is so much of progress in medical science. We are thinking that will prolong the life. We can save people. But then all of a sudden, there is something else comes up. Some new disease comes up, which takes away the life of people. Put everybody in a panicking situation. Like our current situation, what is happening? So rather than having dependency on all these scientific advancement, one need to have dependency on the Supreme Lord. The material life is not meant for enjoyment unlimitedly. Actually, it is meant for tapasya. It is meant for purification of the heart, purification of our habits. So, here it is saying, even the trees also live. And trees actually may have a longer duration of life than humans. There are so many trees which have existed for thousands of years. There is a tree in Vrindavan, Imlitala, right? That particular tamarind tree, which has existed actually from the time of Lord Krishna, more than 5,000 years. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his Leela 500 years back under that tree. And there are so many other trees in so many botanical gardens throughout the world, which have existed for more than 500,000 years. So the trees have an even longer duration of life. So what is the so speciality about human life, trying to elongate that 100 years, 120 years? And then there is another example given, the bellows of a blacksmith. When a blacksmith is beating with the hammer, the bellows, they also make a lot of sound, as if a sound of breathing. Even though they are breathing, but it doesn't mean they are living. So same way, the human being, just breathing doesn't mean he is living. If we are not engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness, the life is like death only. So the trees have a longer duration of life, but somebody may say, oh, how can you compare the life of trees with the life of human being? The trees are just standing at one place. They cannot move, they cannot eat, they cannot produce children. But human has a higher intelligence, they can do all those activities. That's why the next line, it destroy that misconception also. Na khadanti na mehanti kim grame pashopare. Okay, then if you are not ready to compare yourself with trees, then you can compare yourself with the animals. Animals also eat, Animals also engage in sexual intercourse. Animals produce children. Animals also try to defend themselves. So what is so special about human then? If all our consciousness is eating, mating, sleeping, defending, then that is at the level of animal only. Then the human is having the mentality of animal, animalistic propensity. The human can be compared only as, can be called as a two-legged animal, no better than that. So we need to utilize our higher intelligence for its right purpose. And that purpose is to inquire, who am I? What is my role in this material world? Why there are miseries imposed upon me even though I don't want that? How I can overcome these miseries? Who is the controller behind this and how I can connect with that controller? Because if we are just considering, comparing with animals, animals also eat a lot. Animals also engage in sexual activities. We can compare with elephant. Elephant has a much more capacity to eat compared to human being. Elephant can eat tons and tons at a time. And there is no greatness about having sexual intercourse, producing children. A pigeon has much more capacity to engage in that activity. 1,000 times more than a human being. So there is no greatness of being engaging in these activities. Having engaged in these activities, it is compared only with animals. And there are particular examples given in Shastras. What type of animals we can compare ourselves to, if that is our consciousness. Shavah vitvaraha ushtarah khare, sanstutaha purushah pashu, nayat karna pathopeto, jatu nama gadagrajah. So four particular animals have been quoted here. Shavah, vitvara, ushtara, kharehe. So the human being can be compared with these animals only. And what are these animals? Shavah. Shavah means a dog. So the dog and vitvara, that is a hog, pig. Ushtara, camel. And kharah, donkey. Santutu purushah pashuk. So the human being is also like animal, like these different four type of animals. And why it's compared like that? Because the activities of the human being are like those animal only. What is the speciality of a dog? Dog is considered very faithful to its master. It will do whatever its master say. It will try to protect its master. And even though it has the risk of being beaten by its master. And same way the human being, after getting all these degrees, this material education system is preparing human being to become like dogs. After getting these degrees, we go from one office to another office to get an honor, get a master, who will be willing to hire us on a job. And people try to become faithful to their master, to serve them. But ultimately, every time they have a risk of being kicked by the master, layoffs. No matter how much hard work you have done, how nicely you have served, there is always risk of getting let go. And then what is the speciality of Vitvara? Why a human is compared with a Vitvara, a hog, a pig? Because a hog does not do any discrimination about its eating habits. Whatever it sees on the street, a pile of garbage, a drainage of a sewerage, it just puts its mouth and try to eat. And if you give some nice food to the hog, it says, no, this is better tasting. I don't want your halwa and gulab jamun. And the human being also has taken to those habits. It does not have any discrimination what to eat. It's ready to eat anything and everything available. And that is the cause of all these calamities happening, all these disasters happening. In the, all the recent histories or the old histories, we can see all these diseases, how these diseases spread. The disease of mad cow, swine flu, this current coronavirus, all these diseases have spread because of uncontrolled eating habits. So when human being does not have any discrimination in its eating habit, it's not willing to eat what is set forth as its quota, that leads to all the problems. The quota for human being is to eat grains, fruits, flowers, milk, yogurt, all these ingredients. But giving up all those, everybody is running towards meat eating. And they don't even spare any type of animals, any type of bird. There are some class of people, they are willing to eat the snakes also, the owls also, the bats also. So that's why the scripture compares such type of people with hogs, who does not have any discrimination in their eating habits. And then ushtarah, camel. Why human being is compared with the camel? What is the activity of camel? What does camel do? Actually, if you see a camel, when they eat, they are chewing on one particular type of plant. And that plant is called cactus. So camels, they have their special capacity to stay in a deserted land, right? Registan. And in Registan, one particular type of plant is cactus, which has a lot of thorns on it. And the camel is very fond of chewing on that cactus plant. And what happens when it is chewing? Camel thinks, oh, these thorns are very tasty. Actually, what is happening is when the camel is chewing on that cactus plant, the thorns, they are piercing the flesh inside the mouth and the blood comes up. The blood mixes up with the thorns and the camel is tasting its own blood and he thinks, oh, wow, these thorns are so juicy. So he is enjoying his own blood. And same with the human beings, with unrestricted senses, when they are engaging on these sexual activities, this sexual intercourse, mathuna, that activity itself is utilizing, consuming so much of the vital blood of the human being to transform itself into the semen. So they are drinking up their own blood to engage in all these unrestricted activities. So the human being is compared with these type of animals. And then kharah, donkey. Donkey works day and night very hard to satisfy its master. And for what? So that at the end of the day he can get some green grass. A piece of carrot. And the donkey is always at a risk of being beaten by its master. And it's always at the risk of being kicked by its female partner. The donkey approaches its female partner, try to please it, and it's always at risk of being hit by, kicked by the hind legs of the female partner. So same with these materialistic people, they are working day and night so hard to satisfy their masters, but always at the risk of being chastised by them. And at the end of the day, they come back at home and they are tortured by the family members. So many household chores also. Oh, you do this, you do that. And then always at risk of being tortured. So the human being, if its all consciousness is absorbed in these materialistic activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, it's no much better than the dog, the donkey, the camel, the hog. Na yata karna pathopeto jatu nama gadagrajah. So people who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, they are like these animals only. If we want to claim ourselves really as human beings, the differentiating factor is we need to engage in hearing Krishna Katha, engaging in the listening process, in the chanting process, in serving the Supreme Lord. So again, as I quoted the example, rather than trying to make our situation better within this prison house, it's better to go out of this prison house. And then Shukdev Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishi, they quote so many examples. They say if a person is not engaged in hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. His ears are like the snake holes only. Because if the ears are not utilized in speaking or hearing about Krishna, then these ears are useless. These are waste of time. It's just like the place where the snake resides. The snake is also very much attracted to the sound of these veen, the people who are expert in playing that particular instrument. They will play that and the snake will come attracted with that music. And they will catch that snake, put them in a box and use them in making a show of that. So same way, if we don't utilize our ears properly, we are getting more and more entrapped in this material world. If we are, all our hearing process is utilized in hearing about the glorification of materialistic people, what are these famous Bollywood stars, Hollywood stars, sports people, politicians and big businessmen, we are wasting our hearing process and getting entrapped more and more in this material world. And people who do not sing the glories of the Supreme Lord, their tongues are unchaste, asati. And it is like the tongue of a frog. So why it's compared with the tongue of a frog? If we are speaking, if we are using our tongue in to speak about all mundane subject matter, the time is kidnapping all our life, all our duration of life, as just mentioned few verses back. A frog is also very fond of croaking. It comes out of the pond and it's making a nice croaking sound. But by that croaking sound, it's attracting the snake only. And as the frog is making that loud noise, the snake comes and swallows that frog. So same way, the time factor, like a snake, is approaching every person who is busy in these mundane talks. And the person is ultimately swallowed by the time factor. Having misutilized this human form of life, again it keeps going back and forth in this cycle. Again in the cycle of suffering. And the further example says, even if somebody may have a very nice, luxurious turban on his head, but if that head does not bow down at the feet of the Lord, that turban is just a big burden on the head, which will further drown that person in this material existence. If a person is drowning in the ocean, and if there is a big load on his head, that is not going to help him come out of the water. It will further drown that person more quickly. So if a person is having a big turban on his head, what does that really mean? If somebody is very famous in this material world because of his material advancements, if a person becomes proud of his achievements in this world, that actually is like a big burden on his head, further drowning him down and down. So one should utilize, bow down his head at the lotus feet of the Lord, utilizing his tongue in speaking the glories of the Lord, utilizing his ears in hearing Krishna Katha. And further it says, if the hands are not utilized in serving the Supreme Lord, no matter if the hands are decorated with nice bangles, glittering bangles, those are like the hands of a dead body. So we should utilize our hands in service of Krishna, in cleansing the temple of the Lord, in cooking for Krishna, in engaging all our senses in various activities in service of Krishna. And then it says, the eyes which do not look at the form of the Lord, at the deity form of the Lord, symbolic representation of the Lord, then those eyes are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock. See, on the feathers of the peacock, there are plumes which are like the eyes. But are those any useful? Yes, it is very beautiful to look. but they cannot see. Those eyes are not used for anything. And if somebody thinks, oh, just take away these black and white eyes and give me very colorful eyes like the peacock feathers, is that going to be any useful? So if we don't use our eyes in looking at the form of the Lord and glorifying the Lord, then these eyes are waste. So all our body limbs, if not utilized in service of Krishna, these are just waste. It's like a dead body. And the legs which do not move to the holy places, which do not move in the service of Krishna, those legs are just like the tree trunks. As a tree just stays still at one place, cannot move here and there. And if our legs are not utilized to visit the holy places, are just like tree trunks, it's just like a dead body. So having said all that, we have to understand that in a proper perspective. Here the focus is, if somebody is not utilizing his senses in service of Krishna, he is wasting that opportunity. But it does not mean that it gives somebody the authority that, oh, if somebody is not bowing down his head at the feet of the Lord, anyways he is like a dead body, so you kill him. If his hands are not engaging in service of Krishna, better cut off his hands. So there is nothing sanctioned like that. It is just for us to introspect. Am I utilizing my senses in service of Krishna? So sometimes people take this sort of instructions in the scripture to in a very wrong way, becoming fanatic about that. That's what happens in Islam. In some part of the scriptures it says, if somebody does not bow down, does not accept Allah, so we say God, and there are many names of God, when we speak about God, we say Krishna. If somebody doesn't bow down at the feet of Krishna, he is like a dead body. It doesn't mean if somebody doesn't bow down in front of Krishna, I say, oh, he is an atheist and I have the right to kill him. That's what happened. People distort that whole understanding in different religion and they become fanatic. If he does not accept the God in whom I believe, he has to be killed. This is what not the Lord says. It is not what the scripture says. All these instructions are for us to introspect so that we can take to that process, utilize our senses in a better way in service of Krishna. So all these instructions are mentioned. And then further, it says a person who has not received the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, or the dust of the feet of Lord's pure devotees on his head, is certainly like a dead body. So here it's emphasis on taking the dust of the feet of devotees. Because somebody may have faith in the Lord, somebody is serving the Lord, but if he is not respecting the devotees, not taking care of devotees, not serving the devotees, still he does not take enough benefit. So along with serving the Lord, we have to respect the devotees also, serve the devotees also. That is pleasing to the Lord. And if somebody has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord, is also like a dead body, although breathing. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are 64 limbs of bhakti. In that, one limb of bhakti is to smell the flowers, the tulsi leaves offered at the feet of the Lord. Another limb of bhakti is to accept the garlands which has been offered to the Lord as a prasad. So if somebody is not utilizing those offerings to the Lord as prasad, he is just like a dead body, even though breathing. And even though if somebody is engaging in process of bhakti, in the process of sadhana bhakti, he has been engaging in the process of chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. But at the end of the day, if that person does not show the symptoms of ecstatic emotions, the asht sattvika vikar, his heart is to be considered as steel framed. Even though he is taking the name of the Lord, but there is no transformation happening in the heart. So he used to be considered a steel framed heart without any transformation. And what does it really mean? Even though somebody is engaging in that process, one is committing aparadha. And because of committing the aparadha, the transformation in the heart is not happening. The heart is not becoming softened. We are not able to feel the sufferings of others. A devotee is actually para dukkha dukhi. When a devotee, if somebody is actually a devotee, he feels suffering of others. Like butter, when the butter comes close to fire, it melts. So same way, when a devotee hears about the problem of somebody, suffering of somebody, he also feels that pain. Because the heart has become softened. When the chanting of the names happen, the emotions come up. There is a tears from the eyes. There is a hairs ending up standing on the ends. Those are the Ashta Sattvika Vikar. But if somebody is not experiencing those, it is to be considered as a steel framed heart. Because somebody is committing offenses. The sadhana is still at the level of Nama Parad. It has not come to the level of Nama Abhas. What to speak of Nam Ruchi. But somebody may say, oh, this is Ashta Sattvika Vikar, tears coming from the eyes, the hair standing on the end, somebody rolling on the grounds, the voice choking up. Those are external symptoms. Even the Sahajiyas may exhibit those symptoms. So how do we know if somebody is genuine a devotee or somebody is faking, making a show of that? Yes, these symptoms are external symptoms. So that's why along these external symptoms are just not enough to know if somebody is really making progress, is really having transformation of heart. Along with all that external symptoms, along with those bhavas, there has to be anubhava, the internal transformation. And what are the symptoms of those internal transformation? So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describe, Kshanti avyartha kalatvam virakti mana shunyatah asha bandha samutkantha nama gane sadaruchi asaktistad gunanu akhyane pritistad vasatisthale. So these are the symptoms of anubhava. Kshanti avyartha kalatvam virakti mana shunyatah. So kshanti, one is always at peace. Even he is remaining in the middle of turbulences, but he is always peaceful, patient. Avyartha kalatvam, he utilizes his time in a best possible way in remembrance of Krishna. He is always constantly engaging in service of Krishna without wasting any time. Because the time lost cannot be bought back even with millions of gold coins. Actually, Chanakya Pandit also says that one moment of time lost cannot be gained back by giving the whole treasury. So one should utilize his time in a very proper way. So a genuine devotee who has got the transformation within by engaging in process of sadhana bhakti, he is avyartha kalatvam. He does not want to waste his time in mundane activities. Virakti, detachment. He is indifferent to the objects of sense gratification. There is a genuine virakti coming. It's not that somebody just gives up everything. Oh, I don't want to use anything. It's a yukta vairagya. The principle of yukta vairagya. Utilizing the things in service of Krishna. In relation with Krishna. Then mana shunyataha. That is one of the very essential qualities. If we are really getting the transformation in heart, then those tendencies of getting the name and fame, the praise, the desire to become popular, desire to have the followers, all those desires start subsiding, goes away. Rather than somebody having the desire, I want to become famous, one become more humble, free from the longing to receive respect from others, but is always eager to give respect to others. So, mana shunyataha, asha bandha. He is always certain that Krishna will bestow His mercy on me in all the situation. There is always positivity even among the calamities. one does not give up the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Asha Bandha. And then Samutkanta, the intense eagerness or the desire to attain one's desired goal, which is Krishna Prema. Until that longing is there, that I want to engage in service of Krishna, that mood, that bhav cannot come. Then Naam Gaane Sada Ruchi, always having the desire to engage in the chanting of the holy name, glorifying Krishna. Asakti Sad Gunakhe, attachment to describe the sweet pastimes of the Lord. Priti Tad Vasati Sthale, the desire to reside in the places of Krishna's pastimes. So these are the symptoms of Anubhava. Rather than, along with those external Ashtasatvika Vikar, the external symptoms, one need to have this internal transformation. Then he is considered as a making progress in bhakti. So in all situations, in all circumstances, either it's a happiness or it's distress, either it's calamity or peaceful, we need to have full shelter at the feet of the Lord. Always remembering the Lord. And then we can always handle all these situations and go beyond that. So in all this situation, whatever is happening in the current world, even though the whole world is on fire, the whole world has been brought to its knees. The big countries who thought we are the world leaders in technology, we have won the space also. All these big leaders, big countries have been brought to their knees. Everybody is now understanding that we are so minute, we are powerless. So actually we are powerless. Our only power, our only shelter is Krishna. Krishna gives the intelligence how to tackle the situation. So let's with full sincerity take shelter of Krishna, always remember Krishna, chant the holy name, glorify Krishna, remember Krishna, and in that way we will be able to overcome this situation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. If anybody has any questions or comments. Okay, anybody has any questions or comments? Otherwise, we can end the call and the session here.
Yet another beautiful class, Prabhu. Tada Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
We covered a lot of topics and intertwined. I mean, I didn't think many of these things can be related. But the way you connected them, it was simply awesome, Prabhu. Thank you,
Prabhu. All intelligence comes from Krishna. How we can utilize, how we can connect all with Krishna, and how we can see these things in connection with Krishna to understand, to learn from those situations.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, very beautiful lecture. Just had one question that, this must be a very repetitive question. Maybe I have asked you 100 times before too. I'm still struggling so much. Maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. But in this kind of a situation, we know it, we hear it, we understand it, but after some time again, get into that mood of that fear, what's going to happen, to the family. That again sets in. Again, then we read, again we chant, we feel better. Again, this is like a roller coaster. How to maintain that you all are so calm, so contained, and maybe others are too in this assembly. So how you all maintain that calmness so that I can also get a fraction of that, please? Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. So Mataji's question is that we hear a lot and at times then we become peaceful, but then again that anxiety, that worry comes in the mind. So how to continuously stay peaceful, calm, fearless in all these situations? So the only remedy to stay fearless, peaceful is by taking shelter of Krishna. Yes. Our minds drift here and there, wanders here and there. We become fearful, thinking of our own near and dear ones, immediate family, parents, maybe our extended family. So that fear, that concern is genuine concern. Yes, we should be concerned about others. That is very natural. There is nothing wrong about that. But we don't have to creep in the fears in our hearts. So having concern versus fear are two different things, right? So concern is okay. Krishna was also concerned about safety of Arjuna. Arjuna was concerned about safety of his son Abhimanyu in the war. So having concern about that is okay, but ultimately we have to remember that Krishna is the ultimate in control. Whatever happens, it's as Krishna desires. So we can pray to Krishna, so please try to put the world to peace if you so desire. Please let everybody be peaceful, let everybody be healthy, let everybody be safe. And that is what we pray for. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramaya. So we say let the whole world be peaceful, let everybody stay happy and healthy, let everybody see auspiciousness. That is the beauty of Sanatan Dharma. We don't wish for anybody's bad. We wish for everybody's safety and protection. But ultimately everything is in Krishna's hand. And the best we can do is pray to Krishna and stay calm in that situation. Be fearless. That's what the bhajan we sang in the beginning. We need to keep meditating on that bhajan. Bhajahu re mana shrinanda nandana abhayahu charana ravindare. Having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, if our mind is absorbed in remembering Krishna, then we can become fearless. Otherwise, there is so much of negativity bombarded all around us. Everybody is sending some crazy messages. And some people take it too lightly. They are sending jokes in this situation also. Both situations are worse. Making fun of the situation or spreading too much negativity about it. Making people panic or fearful. We have to stay calm in that situation. Always remember, Krishna is in control and time is the great healer. There is a plan behind that. We may not be able to see it right now, but when this whole thing subsides and you look back, then you will see, oh, how this all happened and what was the real benefit all behind this. We will be able to connect those dots back. So let's all maintain that positive frame of mind by thinking positive, by engaging in remembering Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, reading the pastimes of Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, this is me again. Look, one positive realization that I've had, or that I've seen out here, is that Krishna actually wants us, I mean, considering the life that we are all in, Krishna maybe wants us to just slow down.
Yes.
We hardly have time for our near and dear ones, for our family. We are always rushing Mulla ki door bolte na, ghar masjid tak.
Right.
That's the same story. We just run from home to office, office to back to kids' activities, back to, oh no, it's sleeping time.
Right.
And then next day starts again. Here at least you're slowing down. And particularly for people who travel a lot. I mean, somebody in the consulting business, they keep traveling from coast to coast, from city to city. At least now they are able to just sit back, spend some time with the family, recharge their batteries.
Right.
That's one positive realization that I see from all this.
Yes, Prabhu, that's a wonderful realization. That's how we need to take it in a positive way. That Krishna is forcing us to stop, think, calm down, slow down. Because we were not able to discipline ourselves, so somebody has to put a force on us to discipline ourselves. Right? If we don't discipline ourselves, somebody will discipline us by force. So all this, we have to see positivity in that. Now we can see everybody is able to go more inward. If you are not able to go outward, then people are able to spend that time to go inward. Think more, introspect, right? Do more introspection, that what is the cause behind all that? Why it's all happening? How we have polluted the whole earth? And now people are reflecting back. This is, many people are able to perceive it in that way, in that positivity. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Any other questions or comments?
So I had this question, kind of question. So the killing the non-believers. So we see this verse, set up verse. If we compile left and right, right and left, then it can result in the same thing, like what others, other faith people will do it.
So, Prabhu's question is, if we see these verses which says, if somebody is not doing, engaging in this way, surrendering to the Lord, engaging his senses in service of Lord, he is like a dead body. So people ultimately come to that sort of conclusion. That okay, if he is a non-believer, as per my beliefs, he can be destroyed, he can be killed. But that is not what scripture says. Scriptures always refer to anything for your personal introspection. They don't refer to give you the authority to imply that on others. So even the law of karma, when we speak about karma, that law of karma is not to make us a stick and beat others with that karma. That is for us to see, if I do something wrong, I have to get the result. When something bad happens with somebody, it's not that we go to that person and start beating him with law of karma. See, this is aapka karma hai ye to. Some girls get tortured, raped or something, and can you go and say, oh, this is because of your own karma. Oh, Draupadi had to be face this situation of disrobing her clothes. This is because of her karma. Sita got kidnapped, that is her karma. So karma is have been misutilized in many ways. The karma is for us to introspect if we should correct our actions. Whatever actions we do, they may lead to some consequences. But we cannot use it to apply on others. Yes, it does apply on everybody, but it's not us who have to force it on others. So same way, all these verses which are mentioned here, it is for us to see, if I don't utilize my human form of life in proper way, I am like a dead body. My life, human life is useless. It doesn't give us the authority, the permission to start killing other people who are not engaging in that way. That anyways, they are like dead bodies, so let me chop, 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 chop. So that is the felony of other religions. How people have distorted these instructions of the scriptures in their corrupted way and putting the whole world into a situation of war. Okay, so thank you very much. Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai,
Vrindanath Prabhu ki jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.